Welcome to the choir room. There's always room for you if you're a fan of Glee. Then you're a friend of me.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the choir room. It is time for another character study. We are down to the final six. If this was a game of Big Brother, I think I would be pretty satisfied with this final six. But I wouldn't be satisfied if this person went out in sixth place. So let's not pretend that's the case. But we are here today to talk about Brittany S. Pierce, a character very beloved by many Glee fans, hopefully by all Glee fans. And we're going to talk through Brittany's story in two parts here in Brittany's little series. Today is part one, and we will be talking through Brittany season one, two, and three, and of course getting to some of her songs as well at the end. So, without further ado, welcome in the man who also has the middle name S, Amon S. Adwin.
Yes, my name is Amon S. Adwin. All my life I have been living under the shadow of Brittany S. Adwin. Yes, so I just pray that you all will take that into consideration as we talk about this character, because I have never really been able to live my life fully as Amon S. Adwin, so Thank you for your prayers.
We greatly appreciate Your brutal honesty and truth, and we accept you.
We are here to talk about my favorite character, Miss Brittany S. Pierce. Yeah. I mean, I realize that I'm a newly inducted member into the Brittany Stan Club because I certainly was out here parading the streets talking about Rachel Berry this, Rachel Berry that. But I have seen the error of, you know what? No, I don't call it an error of my ways. Okay. I'm proud of my past. I'm proud of the growth and the level of maturation that I had to take to get to this point. Because, you know, we all have phases where we like trash people. And Rachel wasn't always trash. I mean, she certainly had her moments. But Brittany is definitely the more unproblematic of the two. You know, everybody needs an unproblematic fave. It's okay to have a problematic fave every now and then, but sometimes when you want to keep the stress level down, it's just nice to have a unproblematic person that's just going to give, you know, bring it to you every episode, every ball. So I'm here to sing Brittany's praises. I'm really excited. This is going to be a fun one. Lots to talk about. Brittany is definitely a character that has developed. I mean, she's a developing person.
And I wouldn't go as far as to say totally unproblematic. We're definitely going to get into some times where Brittany has her fair share of just, you know, the one-liners. Like, we haven't even so
racism,
far.
Racism, yeah.
Start with that. Mercedes, unique. Jones Adams, you know, we'll get into all of that. But Brittany is a lot of fun, and we're not going to, you know, let all of the quick or cheap jokes that the writers are going to, you know, put in along the way, which were funny most of the time, give us any kind of hard time today. Brittany, we still have, you know, Santana to go, so plenty of stuff to get into for the Britannia of it all, and I'm excited to, you know, crack things open by talking about Brittany here. Let's get into it. Obviously, like, one of the, if not the main aspect of Brittany's character that there is to enjoy. You know, her songs are great. We're going to get to her songs later as well. But one thing that I also want to do later when we get to the part of the podcast where we start playing some YouTube videos is I found a couple of different options of, you know, the best of Brittany videos. So I'm not going to sit here and, you know, recite her one-liners by any means. That would not be fun for you guys. So we're going to play a video or two that has some Brittany lines so we can hear them from her. And, you know, plenty to talk about along the way as well. So, Amon, why don't you set us up? Tell us, who's Brittany?
Brittany Jean Spears was born in Nashville, Tennessee in 1981. She is known as the Princess of Pop. And
okay,
has
so I think there's been a mistake
staple.
Here. Okay, so, hi, I'm sorry, Amon. Really awkward. I didn't mean to do this in front of the audience, but I meant Brittany S. Pierce, the one from Glee.
That's what I just said, Brittany Jean Spears. That's what I
No. You're just mixing. Brittany S. Pierce is on Glee. Brittany Jean Spears is the one who we have so many apologies to make up to in the world, and you know.
Including that I totally just butchered that intro because she definitely was born in Mississippi and not Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, and I knew that, and I was waiting to call you out on it later.
Sorry, Brittany. We love you. We hope that you get free at least at some point, because you've been going through it for like decades at this point. But yeah, we're here to talk about Brittany Espears from Glee. She is excuse me, I'm choking on my fuckery. She is one of a kind. She is quite the character. She sees the world through a lens that is, I don't know if it's far beyond or far fewer than her years. I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. But she is a genius. We're going to learn a lot about that towards the end of the series. She doesn't come off as like the brightest person, but she has her moments of like supreme emotional intelligence. She seems to be someone that a lot of people seem to want to take care of. She's a delicate creature. She's a delicate being, which is so interesting because she finds herself being romantically involved with one of the most abrasive people on the cast. So she really has a way of mellowing people out, even if it's by just straight up confusion. She's somebody that believes that storks bring babies. She's someone that believes that Mercedes is growing hair out of her scalp every time that the hairstyle changes. She's just someone that just sees the world in a different way. Mm-hmm. And it's okay, because we love her because she's Brittany. Yes. She also can dance her fucking ass off. She is portrayed by Heather Morris, who was a Beyonce backup dancer. So, I mean, come on now. Like, if that tells you anything, there it is. And she's not the best singer, but I love every single one of her performances. I don't think there's a single Britney performance that I do not like. Mm-hmm. I love them all. So
yeah, she was not Britney. Brought onto the show as a singer. We've talked about that many times, and the fact that she is able to sing and did give us all of those performances that she gave, even if like one or two, you can, you know, have a qualm or two here with like, maybe this one wasn't the best, but that you literally can say that for every single character on the show. Nobody has a 100% success rate. And the fact that, you know, she was brought on as a dancer, the story has been out there, you know, 100 times over. She was brought on early. She ended up, you know, doing choreography with everybody. I think it was Zach Woodley that knew that she wanted to be an actor, went to Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk and Ian Brennan and was like, let's see, you want to give her a chance, like put her into the Glee Club. Let's see what happens. And next thing you know, a star was born literally like overnight. It doesn't take long into season one till we get a very quick idea of like what this character can do, who, you know, what she can bring to the table. And you know, as somebody who has followed Heather Morris on social media for a couple of years now, it's, you know, with all due respect and all my love to Heather Morris, I think in general, she's, you know, seemingly a very good person and whatnot. But sometimes you do see her social media and you're like, it's very kind of easy to see where the inspiration came from. She's very, you know, she's got a lot of Britney in her. And I do really mean that with the nicest intentions. So, and I think that like they say that from like early on, a lot of the things that she would say or do or whatever on set, just like randomly, like I think just being herself, they would be like, oh, can you do that on the show? Like put that into Britney. And it just kind of all worked together to create this character. So a lot of fun, lots and lots of fun as we're going to get to meet her. And yeah, I mean, I think we'll pick up on a lot of these other aspects of her character as we continue to build it, because it really is one that gets built from the ground up from episode 2 of season 1, where she joins up with Quinn and Santana, all the way to season 6, where she marries the love of her life and, you know, the two of them live happily ever after.
Happily ever after. Yeah, it is nice to see this character sort of grow organically, because she wasn't really meant to be a big person, and she just she had the gift of one-liners. She would sneak a few in there and made Ryan Murphy laugh, and I feel like Ryan Murphy's a lot like RuPaul if you can make him laugh. I mean, I think that's just how it is, though. I mean, even on the Glee project, they were like, make him laugh, make him like you.
Yeah.
And I think that it's kind of easy. Like, once you get your foot in the door and he sees that you, what like kind of asset that you can be to the show, he's inspired to write for you. So Heather Morris, I mean, we pretty much have her to thank for bringing the character to us. And even though I know people aren't necessarily too happy with some of the things that Heather Morris has had to say about certain topics as of late, I think that, you know, one thing still remains true, and that she really did a lot to bring a lot of humanity into the character of Brittany. So I'm grateful to her for that.
Yeah, both Brittany and Heather sometimes will speak with no filter, but, you know, on the show, on Glee, it kind of produces, you know, some of the best one-liners, and that's why this character is so beloved. You know, if let's not beat around the bush, Santana Lopez, often, you know, widely regarded by most Glee fans as the number one character from the show. Brittany, usually, if you find any of those polls, will be pretty close behind. So, you know, we'll have a lot of fun talking about her and also Santana when that comes. So season one, let's get on into it. We'll talk about a lot of different things here on the way through these first three seasons. Season one, not going to take a lot of time for us to get through it because she's really not a whole prominent character yet. We see her, she joins the Glee Club alongside Quinn and Santana. They all get in pretty easily, and we really just have a couple of quick hits to get on throughout this season because she's not an actual person on the show yet. She has a name. She doesn't have her last name until season two, for obvious reasons, when the time comes then. But early on in season one, what is she doing? She's hanging out with Tina and Kurt, doing some single ladies dancing. At some point later in the season, she's also going to end up making out with Kurt, when Kurt is going to go through a whole, you know, changing up his style to try to look straighter for his dad. And Brittany's like, oh, let's see if I can check you off the list of, you know, making out with every guy in the school. That's another thing that she, you know, prides herself on early on in the show. So she's got that going for her. We also see she's pretty nice. She seems like pretty kind-hearted, and that's something that's going to be like that genuine aspect of her personality goes all the way through the show. But, you know, early on, she's helping Becky out with just kind of like, I don't know, like her Becky's social life, if that's a good way to put it. Like, she brings Becky to the bake sale, buys her a cupcake. But then again, we also find out from Puck that she's like, Brittany's actively cheating off Becky's papers in math class, so that could have something to do with it. But then Brittany loses her wheelchair in that episode because that's Brittany. It doesn't take long into the season. I think Throwdown is the seventh episode when we finally start to get hints of dumb Brittany when she's like trying to copy Quinn's test in that class, and it's like, okay, there it is. We're here. We're doing it.
Yeah, we begin to see just a bit of an airhead that she really is, with the little quips that she has every now and then. She also sort of like says things that she's not really meant to say. During a phone chain when they were talking about the pregnancy. Is that what they were talking about during the phone chain?
Who's the real baby daddy?
Yeah. She I think someone made the comment of like, how, like, if you sleep together, it doesn't mean that you're in love or
something like that.
I forget the actual quote. And then Brittany was like, yeah, because if we did, then that means that me and Santana would be, like, in love or whatever. And Santana, like, looks at her like, girl.
And everyone else, like, pauses for a second, but nobody says a thing about it. And it's like,
yeah,
okay.
Nobody says a thing about it. And I think the story about that line is that that really was a bit of a throwaway. They kind of just said it for the laughs of it all. But then they were like, you know what? Why not in season two? So yeah, I mean, I don't know if that was a Heather Morris original or if someone wrote that for her. But yeah, that was kind of the beginning of the Britannia of it all, because they weren't going to be a couple at first.
I mean, just picture like any random high school show that you can like, just a new high school show that starts tomorrow. And you just see, like, I'm trying to put ourselves in the mindset before we knew who Brittany and Santana were and who they were going to become, of just like two high school cheerleaders that are walking down the hallway. It's like, ooh, funny lesbian joke. Haha. Of like, oh, they hooked up one time. It's like, oh, that's so funny. But then when we got like the story has been told again 100 times about, you know, these two and how they got closer to season two. And it just kind of became more of a topic of discussion. People were like, wait, is there something there? And then I think both Heather Morris and Naya Rivera pushed for it to be a thing, being like, no, let's do it. Like, let's why not? And it ended up happening. So
I want the screen time. Give me the air time.
it worked out very well. We even see that they go on a date with Finn in the Hello episode. And
they ignore the hell out of him. Totally, they paid him dust.
Pay him absolute dust. They're like, he's not even there. It's just truly a way for the two of them to go on a date together. And it's like, all right. Love it. Love to see it. What else? She ends up ranked fourth on the list, which I guess it works out well for her that she ends up hooking up with Kurt later on so she can, you know, continue to, add to her resume. She's all about that. Like, I hate to like put it that way, but like she like mentions it a couple different times in season one of all the guys she's made out with in the school. Like, it's, you know, no one's shaming her for it by any means. She's just like very proud of the fact that she has like gotten all around. She ends up falling into a bit of a funk when Sue goes missing in the second to last episode of the series. She's like walking around with her Cheerios uniform on backwards, but that's just something Brittany could have done any day of the week. So
yeah,
there's that.
I feel like it's a very fragile line from put it's together like, Brittany
is this because of Sue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the final thing I mean to really point out here is that like all season long she's been working really close with Santana, Quinn, and Sue, but like specifically Sue, like under orders of Sue to be in the Glee Club. Like that's why these girls were there in the first place. So it's kind of funny when we get to sectionals. Brittany's the one who actually leaked the set list to Sue because she didn't realize what Sue wanted it for. And then when we get to the regionals episode, she's still, you know, working close with Sue, and she's the one who like delivers the news to them of like, Sue is a judge at regionals and she told me that she's going to crush the Glee Club, and she ruins like the entire mood for everybody there. But that's just what she's up to.
Yeah, sweet, innocent, naive Brittany. Sue is going to be able to manipulate her a number of times throughout the season. I think, let me just, starting with season two, like we get to see it immediately. But yeah, she leaks the set list. But we all know the story. The Glee Club is going to lose, but Sue is also going to be the one that brings them back from the dead and allocates some of the funds from the Cheerios back to the Glee Club so that they can get another year. And this, of course, is going to make Brittany very happy because her, Santana, and Quinn, even though they said, you know what, if you say anything, we'll deny it about liking the Glee Club, but we really do like being here. Like, this is something different from just being a Cheerio.
Yeah.
So she didn't mean for them to get, I don't think that Brittany even really ever knew what working for Sue really meant. I just think that she's just Brittany and she's just going to do whatever people ask her to do. And if, like, I feel like if she could knowingly support both Sue and the Glee Club, she would, which pretty much just makes her a neutral character. Like, she's just,
yeah, she likes being on the Cheerios with her, you know, her, at least with Santana. I don't know about Quinn. It's very much talked about how, you know, Brittany and Quinn have like two lines to each other throughout the entire series as part of the Unholy Trinity. But yeah, no, Sue's never steered her wrong. Why would she have any reason to believe that would be any different? And when Sue comes to her, I mean, Sue, who is one of the most manipulative people on earth, and Brittany, who is one of the most naive people on earth, it's just like, this is, you know, they were meant for each other. So that's just the life that she's living there in season one. But yeah, like you said, it all ends up working out. We get, you know, many Britannia pinky linking throughout the season, especially there at the end. So obviously, like, we're just meant to see that these two girls are very close. They're good friends. They're like just very much connected as a pair. Even though you get in that first episode where Santana is like there with Sue and Quinn, and you're like, oh, are these the two? But it's like, no, Quinn's got her own stuff to do. Brittany and Santana are the two other Cheerios to keep an eye on. And that's, of course, going to lead us into season two as well, when we're going to get into a whole lot more, get Britannia together at some point or another. But not before we find out just a little bit more about who Brittany is. In the first two episodes, she spent the whole summer between season one and two lost in the sewers. That's what she tells us. So sounds good. Glad that you're okay, Brittany. And we also get to see what the dynamic we were just talking about with Sue and Brittany, you know, exploited even more in the first episode, where Coach Beast is now arrived at the school and Sue is trying to make sure Coach Beast is gone, uses Brittany as a person to say that Coach Beast touched her, and Brittany says, yeah, no, it's true, this here on the doll, like right here on my boobs. And then Will's like, Brittany, that's not true, right? And she's like, you're right, I actually want to touch Coach B's boobs instead, you're right, I'm sorry.
Actually, she didn't touch my boobs, I just want to touch her boobs, actually. Yeah, the sweet, poor, innocent Brittany once again being manipulated by Sue into getting Coach Beast up out of here, and you know, she'll do anything for Sue because Sue told her to do it. But we do get to see, I mean, her eventual redemption in the next episode, at least.
Yes. Know. It's time.
It is time. It is time. I like how they sort of, like, smash us with this episode, too. Because this could have been something they held in the chamber. But you know what? Like, Glee was riding a very high. You know, they were debuting after American Idol every night and everything. So, like, they were gaining a lot of traction throughout the end of season one and into the beginning of season two. So they really just hit the beginning of the season off with a bang, and they decided to do a Britney Spears tribute episode that actually involved Britney Spears. It was a great moment for pop culture television in the early 2010s. Because, I mean, this kind of show was novel, right? Like, we didn't really have a lot of musical TV shows. I think that there have been, like, maybe one or two before that are, like, very rarely talked about. And Glee is sort of credited as, like, the show that sort of started it all. But I think that's not necessarily the case. But either way, the fact that they hit us with an episode that, you know, pays tribute to the Princess of Pop, and then they made Brittany, a previously background character, the star of this episode, I think was a bold choice, the right choice. Everyone responded well to it. The fact that Heather Morris is a dancer just made this, it just elevated all of the musical numbers to like the umpteenth degree. It was just so fun. It was just such a fun time. And I love that Britney Spears was actually on set to film a few scenes. I would have loved if we got to see a little bit of performance, just a little bit, nothing huge, but it was great. This was a really fun episode. She has some great numbers in this episode.
And you know how like hyped they were to do this episode that they put it as episode 2 of the season. It was like, this could have been at any point in the season. Like, we didn't have to learn about Britney just right off the bat. It was like, they knew how good this was going to be and they didn't waste any time to get this whole thing happening here. We got through the first episode of the season to like get us into season 2. And then they're like, here's what we have in store for this season. Like, you better lock yourself in because we're doing some fun stuff. So yeah, she becomes a star instantly here in this episode when she reveals her full name, Brittany Susan Pierce, Brittany S. Pierce, Brittany Spears. So she doesn't like talking about Brittany. She's always lived in her shadows. And yeah, she ends up with all these different performances by you know, showing up at Dr. Carl's office, getting work on her many, many cavities. And every time that she goes under, she gets into these Brittany fantasies with Slave for You and then Me Against the Music with Santana. And she realizes during all of this, like, how actually good she is, and she's like, she comes back to the Glee Club like, just so you guys know, I am going to do all the solos from now on because I am more talented than all of you. And they're like, what are you talking about? But she's not kidding. She knows how talented she, like, you guys saw that, audience, all of us, we saw that. Yeah, I mean, no, she's good. And she even gets a chance to interact with Brittany there, as you mentioned, Brittany Spears and Brittany S. Pierce in the same episode. And of course that was going to happen. And the only thing that really comes out of that is, you know, Brittany telling Brittany how hot she is. And it's like, yeah, that's pretty fun. So I'm a fan. Big episode.
My middle name is Susan. My last name is Pierce. That makes me Brittany S. Pierce, Brittany Spears. I've lived my entire life in Brittany Spears' shadow. I will never be as talented or as famous. I hope you all respect that I want Glee Club to remain a safe place where I, Brittany S. Pierce, can escape the torment of Brittany Spears. I just love how Mercedes is like, what the hell is she talking about?
And they just, nobody knows how to react. It's like, they didn't know about this for a whole year, that this was her name, that her name was, like, that's the kind of thing you tell everybody right away. But no, she doesn't.
I mean, I totally understand where she's coming from. The fact that her name is literally Brittany Spears, like... Yeah. Yeah,
you think,
like,
they did that on purpose to name her that? I'm totally kidding. Okay, I couldn't even let myself get far into that sentence without changing the direction of it.
I don't think that a Britney Spears tribute episode was ever like in the cards in the beginning. But I think that they were just going to name her Britney S. Pierce just for the giggles, and then all of a sudden, actually having Britney on the show became a thing.
Yeah.
So they were like, "Oh, this is perfect,"
and it was fantastic. So we love to see it. After we get through the Britney episode, Wow, that's an awful way to put it. After we have a great time with the Britney episode, we are going to enter a different, or I guess not even different. We're going to debut this character as being involved in storyline. We get to the duets episode. Britney wants to do her duet with Santana, but she doesn't want to. They talk about, you know, their sexual relationship, and Santana says, you know, I've only been making out with you because Puck's in jail and I need a warm body underneath me, or else
I'm like a lizard. I need a warm body underneath me to digest my
right
food.
Yeah, I was like, I think I was mixing up two quotes and it totally got confusing. So yeah, that's what she needs. That's what she wants. But Brittany is trying to look for a duets partner and then maybe also something else. She goes to find Artie Abrams. And next thing you know, they're at Artie's place to plan their duet. And one thing leads to another. Artie Abrams, no longer a virgin. Santana is going to find out about this. And she comes to Artie and confronts him and saying, look, sex doesn't mean anything to Brittany. Like, it might mean, you know, to you. I get that you were a virgin, now you're not, whatever. But Brittany is not any stranger to sex. And, you know, that's just something you have to live with. That it meant nothing to her. Because Santana, you know, cold-hearted, you know, whatever, in the first couple seasons. Or maybe all the seasons.
Cold-hearted snake.
And Artie gets pretty upset about this because that was his first time, and he doesn't appreciate finding out what he believes to be the truth, that like she did not care about him enough to like care about the fact that actually happened. Like, it was just another whatever to her. So Brittany does end up actually deciding that she does care about Artie. She comes to him saying like, "No, I did enjoy that. Like, I like you. I think you're cool." But he's going to end up breaking up with her, and that's that. Eventually, he realizes that he does want to be with Brittany, so he tries to ask Puck for some help. They go out on a double date together, which goes well until Brittany tries to flirt with Artie, but she's like squeezing his leg and nothing's happening because Artie can't feel his legs. But eventually, they do get together.
Are you not attracted to me? this is great that she is about to endeavor this relationship with Artie. It doesn't start off on the best pretenses, as we've kind of like learned through studying Artie's character, that a lot of people, there were some people that also suffer from disabilities or people that are in wheelchairs, that had like a bit of an issue with how that scene played out between Artie and Brittany, because you could interpret the scene as Artie sort of being stripped of his agency, because like she was the one that picked him up and took him out of the wheelchair and like was very, you know, suggestive. And, you know, if Artie had wanted to stop, there was kind of little that he could do. So there is critique there about that particular scene. But I think as we're going to see throughout this season, that Brittany does develop real feelings for him, and it gets kind of messy when Santana does sort of like step in and sort of says like, "Look, you're nothing to her," and that's because Santana is dealing with her own feelings about Brittany. But I think that Brittany, I'd like to believe that her intentions were true from the start. It might not have like been like she might not have been like trying to get with Artie in the beginning, but it definitely developed that way.
Yeah, definitely worthwhile to point out that, that whole thing. I know we talked about it with Artie's podcast as well, but like it's definitely not great. Luckily, we do get to see over time. I don't know if they had any criticism on that like immediately, or if that came with time, but they do end up having the character of Brittany like grow into liking Artie a lot, into the sense where you're like, okay, this is a legit relationship. She wasn't just trying to like use him for sex or anything like that. Like, she does seem to like him.
Mm-hmm. Like she would even really need to, because I mean, she's clearly been doing it already. Right. She was pissed about that glist last year, so.
Mm-hmm. They end up at sectionals. Artie and Tina have a conversation because they think that Brittany and Mike may be cheating with each other. During that episode, we have Artie. To start from the beginning, Brittany and Mike are going to get highlighted at sectionals. They get some dance features. Of course, they're going to be in the Valerie number with Santana, and we will see them go on to absolutely kill it. But they are going to, Brittany specifically is like worried about all the pressure that's kind of on her now. She's like never been in the spotlight this much before. She thought that she was gonna be in the spotlight after the Britney episode. She was like, how great am I? But now that it's actually here, she's worried. Artie tries to comfort her by giving her the magic comb, and she's appreciative about it. She gives him a kiss on the cheek, and she's so excited that now that she has this, like, nothing can go wrong. But after right before sectionals, Tina and Artie had that talk about the fact that maybe the two of them, Mike and Brittany, are cheating. And Artie comes to her and says that she is committing adultery, and she confesses. And she says, "You're right. I am sorry. I am sorry that that is true." And where do we even go with this? Like,
this is just pisses Artie off, because he's like, "Wait, what? Like, how could you do this to me?" And so he's pissed. Eventually, we're going to learn that she thought that adultery meant being adult, like D-O-L-T.
So dumb. And not Brittany, just this story, this part of this written, like, they've written some good stuff on this show, but this, no. Adult, no.
And she had been avoiding him because, like, he had given her a magic comb, which really was just the comb that he found on the ground. And she was kind of pissed that he let her comb her hair with it. But that was the real reason that she was avoiding him. It wasn't that, you know, she had to keep rehearsing with Mike. It was just that she was embarrassed that she had lost the comb.
Yeah.
But Artie is finally obvious, or, you know, and honest with her about, like, what that comb actually was. And she's able to sort of, like, get over it. Yeah, and the thing about Brittany is she's very gullible. You can tell her anything, and she'll most likely believe it. Because if you find something that she wants to believe in, it doesn't take a lot of convincing to get her on that level.
Yeah.
So, it's something that's used against her a lot, and we're going to see that throughout the series. I mean, we see Sue use that against her. And then sometimes she'll have these moments of, like, clarity and lucidity where she's like, bitch, I know what you're trying to do, and, like, I don't appreciate how you feel, like, I'm just going to fall for anything. So she – and those moments happen more and more as the season goes on. So, like, I've always kind of liked that about the development of the character, and that, yeah, she is very naive, and she can be very – vapid, but she still has her moments where she's like, girl, nah, we're not doing this right now. So yeah. I always found that kind of dynamic.
Yeah, so the sectionals ends up going well. Like I said, they do the Valerie performance, which just shines a light on all three of those characters, Mike, Santana, and Brittany, as being like stars. Like, that's the breakout performance. I mean, if it wasn't Brittany, you know, if the Brittany episode wasn't her breakout, like, this is where we see, like, oh my God, these two can dance. They can win us a competition just based on that alone, because they have the talent. And yeah, all is well with all of them there. Artie and Brittany are still happily together, even going into Christmas, where we get a cute episode between the two of them, because, you know, Brittany still believes in Santa. Artie is trying to make sure that nobody tells her the truth about that, because he's like, just let her like live in this world that she's living in, like, what's the harm? And it ends up in this whole dramatic thing, because Brittany's gonna ask Santa at the mall for Artie to be able to walk, and Artie's like, oh, that's not what I meant, I didn't mean that this was gonna
anything else.
Of course, by the end of the episode, Artie does get his rewalk, because the guys put a whole plan together with Coach Beast, who, you know, has to go talk to Brittany and whatnot. But by the end of things, Brittany does have her holiday spirit back. So a very Glee Christmas definitely capitalized on this character that the fans were falling in love with at this time. So fun stuff.
Yeah, I love this episode for Brittany, because they mirror the whole Grinch archetype, right? She is Cindy Lou Who in this episode. She gets fooled by Sue once again, who's playing the Grinch. Kind of sad that she doesn't really get a solo in this episode. It seemed like the perfect song for her to... I think she was supposed to sing Where Are You Christmas, but then they cut it. But I would have loved to have heard her sing that. That would have been great. Because it's such a Britney-heavy episode. All of her wonder and all of her, like, wide-eyed, bushy-tailedness, she does actually do the trick on Coach Beast, because Coach Beast is going to go ahead and buy that rewalk for Artie. So yeah. Y'all called her stupid, but look what she did. Stupid got Artie to be able to walk for like 2 seconds, because then it broke the next day. But
yeah.
Hey, sometimes it pays to dream.
Yep. And she's happy. He's happy. Everybody seems to be all in a good place. It's, you know, this whole part of the season especially is still like, we're getting more with Brittany, but it's going to take a while. I mean, I want to say season three, but it's not even season three. It's not till season four that they break this character out of the shell that they are like keeping her in and say, like, here's Brittany. Like, there's so much going on in these season two and three. And it's like, you know, definitely enjoyable along the way. All the one-liners, all the, like, the quick, cute lines that she's in for. Like, so appreciative of all that. But, like, obviously it's going to take a while into, like, season four until we actually get the real stuff.
Once Santana is gone, it really helps the character. Because Santana's really the one that people gravitate towards more than Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of, like, by default, Brittany sort of gets dwarfed. And all of her scenes, therefore, have to be with Santana. But once Santana leaves after season three, it gives her a chance to, like, spread her wings, and we get to know Brittany without her. Because all we know is Brittany with her. I mean, yeah, we've seen Brittany with Artie. We've seen Brittany with... that's it. We've seen her with Artie. That's pretty much it. And that does not last long, as we're about to find out. So...
yeah. Yeah, a couple quick things before we get to the pickup of Brittana. We see in the Sue Sylvester shuffle when Brittany almost gets shot out of a cannon, but luckily does not. Finn ends up bringing all the girls back to Glee Club, because they do love Glee Club, and they quit on Sue and come back and, you know, are going to join the Glee Club in street clothing for the first time rather than their Cheerios uniform. Like, what is it, 30 episodes in or so at this point that we finally get to see them in something else, which I don't need to see them in something else. I'm happy with the Cheerios uniforms, but it's still nice to see them, you know, looking just like a regular high school student for a little bit. Brittany even has an episode where she gets paid by Rachel to dress like her, because we see that Brittany is very popular in the school and everybody will follow any trend that Britney starts. Rachel gets annoyed about it because Britney ends up making Rachel's style much more fashionable than she ever anticipated. And now Britney doesn't give a shit because Rachel is annoying and she's going to let her know. I think that might have been in one of the clips that is in the videos for what we're going to watch. I'm not sure. If not, it's still fun when she like reads into Rachel, because nobody ever really that often like goes into Rachel this early on in the show. It's like later on that people like give it back to her. But when Britney does it, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's satisfying that Britney was the one to do it, because you don't expect it from her. You'll expect other people to say something like that. Like people that have more of a reason to say it. Like somebody like Santana, somebody like Mercedes. Like that would have been compelling to watch Mercedes do that.
Well, she will eventually over time, like in the, you know, anytime they have a diva off, like she'll go into her. But yeah, no, Britney is definitely somebody that you don't expect to do it, because it's like Britney's the most innocent, you know, don't bother her, she won't bother you kind of character. But Rachel bothered her and she's going to let her know how she feels. So it's fun there. Amon, the big stuff is about to get going here in the episode Sexy. I believe it's episode 16. It's time to get into some serious conversation here, because Britney finds out that she is pregnant.
Totally pregnant. Totally, totally pregnant. I like this scene, and not only for the comedy of it all, but also because they sort of like get right down to it, because it's like they realize, okay, we've already had a pregnancy story. We've had two pregnancy storylines in season one. We're not about to bog season two down with another one. So the news gets out immediately. Like, say, Britney tells Santana. Santana's promising not to say anything, and then Santana tells Tina, and then Tina tells Puck, and then Puck tells Zices, and Zices tells Artie, and then Artie tells the rest of the Glee Club and Mr. Shu, and Mr. Shu asks, what's going on? Are you pregnant? She's like, yep, totally. That stork is coming down the chimney. I can see it. I saw it laying a nest the other day, so my baby's coming. Cue Rachel's iconic, confused as fuck face. But I love how quickly the information just spreads, and then it gets dissipated immediately. It's like, okay, she's not pregnant. It's just a scare. Like, it is what it is. I love
this entire sequence. Congrats, Artie. You're going to be a daddy.
You're going to be a baby daddy. Your girlfriend's preggo. You're going to be a baby daddy. She yelled that shit so loud too, like the whole school knew at that point.
Yes. So Britney's not pregnant. Definitely not pregnant. Holly realizes the Glee kids know nothing about sex, or at least Britney doesn't. So Holly's going to use this opportunity to get into some lessons about sex ed. Britney and Santana join her for some Do You Want to Touch Me, which is a lot of fun there. We go into seeing that the two of them, Britney and Santana, are going to go back to, I think, Santana's house that night. And they talk for the first time genuinely about, what is this between the two of us? What is our relationship? Is it anything? It seems like they're still sleeping together, despite the fact that Britney is dating Artie. Santana seems to be telling Britney that it's not cheating because Santana is a girl and it doesn't count if it's with the girl, the way that, you know, they're still literally fucking and, you know, Artie is still dating Britney. So Britney is going to go along with it. She agrees, you know, okay, no, I guess that makes sense. I guess you're right. They end up going to talk to Holly Holiday, of course. And Britney is a little upset at this point because she's feeling frustrated, because even though, you know, they tried to have that conversation, it really didn't go anywhere. Santana is not one to really open up about how she's feeling. It doesn't seem like she's ready to talk about things. And Holly is like, well, why don't you both try singing it out? I mean, that's what we do in Glee Club, right? They do. They perform Landslide together. Both girls get very emotional by the end of the song. You can see both of them crying, you know, very much. And Britney's going to look at Santana and say, did you really mean all of that? And Santana says, yes, I genuinely meant every single part of that song, like obviously showing her that she really does care for her, really does feel for her. You know, I mean, we know she's in love with her. They hug, but Santana tells, you know, the rest of the Glee Club, like, calm down. Don't start labeling me things. I'm not ready for all that. And she's going to go to Britney trying to see, okay, so I am in love with you, but like, I don't know what everyone's going to think of me and whatnot. But she is hoping that, you know, the two of them can maybe work on this and move forward together. But Britney doesn't really have that plan in her plan book. She's still dating Artie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this the logic that Santana tries to use against her doesn't really work out. It doesn't pan out for Britney, because what you told Britney was, it's not cheating because you're with a girl. So that's first things first. And then you also just admitted to her that you loved her. And of course, Brittany is not, like, of course, Brittany loves you back. She has no problem admitting to you that she loves you back. But she also loves Artie. And you said that this isn't cheating. So why should I have to break up with Artie? Which, of course, is going to make Santana just be like, I know Santana was dying to call her stupid right then and there. I know she was. But she just says she blames it on Artie. Like, he's just some stupid boy. Mm-hmm. But that's no dice with Brittany because, I think that Brittany is obviously in the situation she's wrong, and you know they're blaming it on her actual intelligence and logic. But I think the emotional intelligence still kind of rings true here. She's like not she understands that her and Artie are in a relationship, and breaking up with him would hurt him, and she doesn't want to do that because she likes him. Like, they spent all this time this season getting to know each other, and like, so why break up with him? Like, why can't I just have both of you? You know what I mean? That's kind of where she is at this point.
Yeah, it's the naivety. I don't know. Not naivety. That's not a word. I mean, it sounds like I'm combining the
naivete. You were right the first time.
Naive. Yeah, that's the word. I think I lost my train of thought by stumbling through that word. But the point is that I was trying to get at is just all of that kind of leads her to a place where she doesn't fully understand it. Like, you don't want to call her stupid. I don't want to call her stupid. We don't. None of us want to call her stupid. But it's just she's not understanding like the severity of what's happening here, because Santana, I mean, did not help by telling her, you know, it doesn't count if you're with me or whatever. She like you said, she spent all season trying to get to know Artie. She has no reason to break up with him. He didn't do anything wrong to her. She is just been living in a world where she could have both. So why not continue to have both? Santana ends up very upset about this. She runs off, kind of runs right into the arms of Sam Evans, you know, kind of using him as a rebound after realizing that, I guess, it's not working with Brittany right now. So they're not going to do anything just yet. But a couple episodes later, as we cut ahead, that's obviously not going to last very long with Sam. Because she's going to go into a new plan here, Santana, that is. She's going to end up to start dating Karofsky. Why not? Because both her and Karofsky at this point are at a point where they both are aware of their sexualities, but neither of them are ready to fully embrace them. Santana especially realizes that Karofsky could use the help. So she's going to end up saying, why don't we date, or, you know, pretend today we'll be each other's beards. And it works a little bit. She ends up making Brittany jealous. And Brittany is like, you know, not the happiest to see them together. I think there was even a point at the end of the episode where JBI comes up to Santana and is like interviewing her about the relationship between her and Karofsky. And she's like, oh, like, I'm very in love with him. And you see Brittany like looking very sad. But this is the Born This Way episode. Brittany has the I'm with stupid shirt where it's pointing at herself. So, you know, she's able to laugh at herself. Santana's shirt originally said bitch on it, but Brittany made her one that said Lebanese. Obviously, she meant to say lesbian, but that's
I'm
okay.
Hispanic.
But that's okay. That's fine, Brittany. She meant to say lesbian, hoping that Santana would have worn it. And Santana's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not ready to, you know, especially like I think what we're kind of led to believe is that maybe if Brittany was willing to be with her, that she would have maybe been more open to coming out and, you know, in a bigger way. And maybe like more people, like she would have been fine with it because she would have had Brittany by her side. But when Brittany said no, she's like, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not coming out, especially if I don't get to be with you. Like, what? I'm just going to get, you know, ripped on by the whole school. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do here. And Brittany gets upset by all this. She was like, Santana, you're the most awesome girl in the school. You like, you shouldn't hide this about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, this is, once again, this is where Brittany shines. This area is her like, spot of expertise. Brittany isn't sort of embarrassed by this kind of stuff because she doesn't really know enough to be embarrassed. Like, to her, it's like, this is who you are. Fuck it. And even if someone does say something to you, like, you have such vicious, vicious words, so you would just cut them right back down. Like, so why? I don't understand, like, why you're having such an issue. Like, you just professed your love to me the other day, and that was so big for you. And now you have a problem just saying I like girls in front of everybody else. Like, who the fuck cares? I'm dating a kid in a wheelchair. Like, I'm sure people are saying shit about me, but I don't care. Like, that's just Brittany. And she just can't quite understand.
Yeah.
She's not really able to connect with how hard that was for someone like Santana, who is extremely guarded, who doesn't let a lot of people in, who does use her words as a shield. It's just that part just wasn't connecting with her. And so it just really... I guess I should reframe this. This really isn't that much of a shining moment for her, because you have to at least be able to understand that the world around you guys isn't that conducive with homosexuality in any regard. Like, clearly, like, like Kurt just had to leave schools because of this shit. And so why do you feel like Santana's going to have even any better of a time than Kurt did? And so the fact that she sort of gets upset and like, you know, throws the shirt at her and like walks off. I'm like, okay, come on, Brittany. Like,
no, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean by this being like a good, because this is like just one of many times that we see how good the two of them are for each other, because they both bring, you know, Santana brings something to the table to like bring Brittany up from, you know, the place of lower intelligence, is that the nicest way to say it, that she's at, by reminding her of like the stakes involved and like all of like the severity to a lot of this stuff, by, you know, coming out in high school, it's, you know, obviously a big deal for a lot of people, and she's like, this isn't just some like, oh, let me just go run around and tell the school that I'm a lesbian, like I can't just do that. And Brittany, you know, brings this sense of like calm to her, to Santana, by saying like, you are awesome, like you can do anything, like you're the coolest girl in the school, like you can get through telling people about this. So yeah, I think it's just one of many great moments between the two throughout the show. Probably like the first one that we genuinely see of them, like, you know, working this out. Like even in the episode beforehand, when they're trying to work it out, it's kind of just a setup, but like, this is the first one where it's like, okay, this is Brittana.
Yeah. That's a good counterpoint. And I take that, because it's not so much that she's, I still think that there is a degree of misunderstanding there, that she just can't quite connect with what Santana's going through. But I do think that by and large, it's just, she already knows that Santana is a rock star. So I don't understand like why you're not allowing yourself to do it. Like, you know that you're going to be able to get through this. Mm-hmm. You know that you will. So you might as well just like stop beating yourself up. Like, I mean, I'm here. I'm not going to stop loving you. So fuck everybody else. So,
yeah. And this is going to continue.
And the fact that she's like doing double duty, right? And like, she won't come out about herself, but she's more than happy to go to Kurofsky, throw Kurofsky's truth in his face and say like, let's be each other's beards. Like, you're willing to like go and like make someone else confront their shit, but you won't confront your own.
More on
like,
that. What's that about? Podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
For another day. This is going to continue on, though, into the rumors episode. It's time to introduce ourselves to a very popular web show here in this world.
Fondue for Two. Fondue for Two. Fondue for Two. That's some hot damn. Fondue for Two.
The original influencer, the one who started it all, Brittany S. Pierce, the host of the hit web show of 2009 until probably hopefully today. Fondue for Two is the show that Brittany hosts from her bedroom alongside her cat, Lord Tovington, and she has guests on, people that she goes to school with and more. Her first debut web show that we are going to see, Fondue for Two, kicks off, at least as far as, like I said, that we see. Tina and Mercedes come by as the guests, and they are going to be there as Brittany talks about, yeah, Santana plays for the other team. And they're like, did you just say that live on air to this really popular web show?
It's like, and we let it go season one, but this time
you just broadcasted that to the YouTube. And the news does spread very fast. Santana Lopez plays for the other team.
/Fondue for Two.
It is everywhere. And Santana gets upset. She tells Brittany, like, why would you say that? And Brittany's like, why would I say what? Like, all I was talking about is that you left the Cheerios to go to the New Directions. And it's just like, oh, like literal facepalm.
And you couldn't think of any other way to say that?
Literal facepalm. Like, it's Brittany. It's Brittany. I'm sorry. That's, you know, Santana, I'm sorry. That's just, this is what you're working with here.
And like, why was, that's not like piping hot news, girl. Like, you also are in the same predicament. So why are you acting as if this is like some hot off the press? Like, oh my God. Like, we ditched. Remember that time that Santana ditched the Cheerios because of a fucking cannon 5 episodes ago? Remember that?
Sounds familiar.
Like, what?
Artie is going to approach Brittany in this episode here and ask her the truth, because these two are still together and he's been hearing some things and he needs to know for sure now. Brittany, are you cheating on me with Santana? And Brittany says, no, I'm not. She says, Santana's a girl, so it doesn't count. And Artie is like, what are you talking about? Like, who told you that? Santana, of course she did. Brittany, how could you be so stupid? You
were the only person, in this school. I love how we both get to.
I figured you were going to.
You're the only person in this school that's never called me that. It's so sad.
It's so sad.
I feel so bad now, because I used to find this line funny, because the way that she contorts her face before she cries used to make me chuckle a little bit, because it just is so instant. And so me and my friend would always quote this whenever we were being the most minor inconvenience. We would be like, you were the only person in my life that would never do this to me. And now I feel so bad because she was so hurt.
Look, it's okay. It's she a TV so show. Hurt. It's a character on a TV show. I think it's fine. Yeah, she's super upset. I mean, we've seen how many, you know, episodes now of Brittany not being the brightest crayon in the bunch, but, you know, crayon in the box, I think is the expression. Sometimes I listen back to episodes and I'm like, what did you just say? It's fine. But yeah, she is not the smartest, and Artie now calling her out on that and specifically saying, like, how could you be so stupid? We see how much it hurts her here. She was not ready to hear that. Artie was being so nice to her, like had not ever given her anything to, like, you know, that's why she was sticking around, being in a relationship with him. And now she feels, you know, really hurt by him. She ends up being pulled into the choir room by Santana, who wants to really tell her how she feels about her because she is just... You know, they're going through a lot. She's going to sing Songbird to her in one of, like, Santana's most, you know, emotional performances. More on that to come again with Santana's podcast. But Brittany just sits there and takes it all in. And she's so appreciative of, like, hearing the way that Santana feels about her. She's like, why couldn't you do that in front of everybody? Like, it makes me so happy. And you're so good. And you're, you know, we should share this with everybody and, you know, show them how great you are. But Santana just insists she's not ready yet to make that big announcement. Brittany's like, well, how about this? Let's go on Fondue for Two. You can I'll ask you to prom and then you can just accept, and that way it's not like, you know, not it's more on me than it is on you. And Santana seems to be sure, let's do that. But later on they go to film, you know, they go to do Fondue for Two, and Santana never shows up, so Brittany has to interview Lori Tubbington instead, which is, you know, one of what, how many times does that cat get interviewed? He's a popular guy.
I'm mad at you. I know you joined a gang.
So that's not going to happen. As far as Artie goes, he's later going to end up begging Brittany for forgiveness, you know, trying to take her to prom, sing some Isn't She Lovely, which is, you know, still a weird song choice for that moment, but it's fine. She does not want to go with him to prom. She just kind of wanted to go by herself. And when we get to prom, we see, you know, we're going to kind of link up the stories here. Santana is, of course, at prom as well. I think she went with Kurofsky, right? Is that correct? I think that was her date.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, she ends up not winning prom queen, and she is pretty down about it. She feels like everybody hates her. Nobody likes her at all, and it sucks. She's like, I try so hard, and nobody likes me. I just, you know, I tell people the truth and all this kind of stuff, and Brittany's going to try to comfort
just
her.
Just because I hate everybody doesn't mean they have to hate me, too.
It's just a stupid crown. You can buy it at the Party City.
It's such a sad scene, though. I mean, it's like literally about prom queen, and you wouldn't have expected that Santana would have cared that much. But and again, I guess this is still more for Santana's podcast about, you know, how much this all means to her, of like having people like her or not. But at the very least, Brittany's there for her.
She equates it with like the rumors about her being a lesbian. So yeah, she feels like that's why I didn't win. It's because they already hate me, because yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But yeah, well, I just want to keep talking about Santana.
Yeah, I know. It just keeps bouncing back to her. That's what I'm saying. Season 4 is when we actually can get to just the Britney. Not because I'm not happy that they broke up just to get to the Britney content, but whatever. We'll talk about it when it comes. So they go back to prom. Britney dances with Artie. Santana's going to go sing with Mercedes. Everybody's all good. We go to Nationals. Britney's going to write a nice little song for them to sing, but they're not going to use it. But, you know, my cup, saying what's up to my cup. What's up to my cup? Doesn't really catch on with the group. Catches on with the audience. It's a smash hit all across the internet. You know,
smash hit. Robbed. Stream my cup for clear skin.
To my cup. We're gonna have an unholy trinity scene here, which is super irrelevant, but I have to note it. Brittany, Santana, and Quinn. Well, they're comforting Quinn after she and Finn have recently broken up, so that's happening. And when the New Directions lose at Nationals in season 2, Brittany and Santana get one last scene together about how she is so excited that they're going to spend another year with the Glee Club. She just loves everybody in there. She just loves being with all of her new friends because she enjoys her time with them. And they even wrap up talking about their relationship for the season, talking about that they do still love each other. Doesn't seem like we're ready to be together yet, but the love is there.
Yeah, they agree that, you know, I mean, now that they're both single, it's time to mingle. And it's going to get further solidified in the next season, but it is nice. It's like a nice little cliffhanger that you know what's going to happen, but they don't make it a fish until next year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So lead us in. Season three. We have a couple of things to set up, and then we eventually get to the election and whatnot. It's so sad, but like this is almost a quieter season than season two is for Brittany, but there's still some stuff to talk about for sure.
Yeah, so the top of the business is getting Quinn back on the Cheerios. Both Brittany and Santana, I mean, they've all reached their senior year, and they wanna spend it how they started off, with being with Quinn. But Quinn's going through her own shit, and it's just not really working out. They aren't able to convince her just yet to join. But Santana is going to find herself in some deep shit once she swears allegiance to Sue again, and then lights one of the purple pianos on fire in the courtyard and has to get kicked out. But Brittany does stay. I mean, she agrees not to, she couldn't do it because she's a water sign. I really want to know if she's a Pisces, a Cancer, or a Scorpio. I really want to know when her birthday is, because if she's a Pisces like me, I feel so connected.
I'll look it up while you talk.
I don't think her birthday is ever mentioned.
Sometimes they just find it. Sometimes like people like just trace back to like, oh no, it's no, it says birthday 1994, so we know what year. Well, actually no, Google says March 14th, 1994.
Well, she's a Pisces, baby. I accept it.
The wiki only says 1994, but Google says March 14th, so we'll go with it.
Well, I feel like if she's a water sign and she is born in 1994 and she was supposed to be the graduating class of 2012, then she would have had to have been born at the beginning of 1994. Because if she were born at the end, she would have been in the next class.
Right.
Because that's how the cutoff works. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's definitely, I mean, I guess she technically could have been a Cancer. Like if it was June, if she was a June baby. No, because that would have been too late. That would have been the cutoff. Nope, she's Pisces. Yeah, she's Pisces.
Okay.
She does not participate in the bonfire of the piano, so she gets to stay. And this is kind of like the first time that her and Santana get split up a little bit, but it's not going to last very long because, yeah. But her next line of business is to, she wants to help Kurt run for president. She sees that Kurt's running because Kurt really wants to get into NIADA, so he needs something good for his resume, and she just admires him. She, you know, kind of just comes clean. It's like the first time that we ever really get to see her talk with Kurt besides season one. She's like, I just love you. You're like such a unicorn. You're unique in yourself. And all the things that she wants for Santana, she already sees in Kurt. And I think that sort of attracts her to him. So Kurt's like, okay, Brittany. Yeah, I mean, you are a cheerleader. You mean you're? I don't. Is she head? I don't think she's head cheerio. She's not head cheerio, is she?
She, I think, was supposed to be
Santana and Becky.
So I'm thinking of season four when she gets called from Sue to go into the office there, and I think by that point she was supposed to be head cheerio. But yeah, here it's Santana and Becky for sure.
Yeah. So I mean, Kurt is very glad to accept the help, but Brittany goes a little overboard because gay.
She gays it up. She
just
makes it
like glitter and pink and sunshine and rainbows and unicorn horns and just way too much.
Yeah. Kurt ends up wanting nothing to do with it. He's like, you know what? This is not what I was looking for here. Just got back to McKinley, you know, the end of last year, trying to keep low profile as far as the gay stuff goes, which whatever, that's another story for another day. So he ends up, you know, saying no. And Brittany is pretty upset about all this. She feels like she let her unicorn down. And Santana comes to her saying, Brittany, you are the unicorn. You should run on your own and, you know, be your own unicorn. And she decides, I'm going to be a unicorn, or maybe a bicorn. Maybe I'll be a bicorn. Just seems like something that I could be. So, you know, I think so many people like consider that the first time that Brittany ever mentioned her bisexuality, which is probably fair. It's just, you know, never explicitly mentioned. I don't think the word bisexual comes out of her mouth at any point in the show. But the debate rolls around. Brittany's going to promise to outlaw tornadoes and go topless on Tuesdays so that she wins the election. The polls are looking to be in her favor, but when the election day eventually rolls around, she, you know, buying students votes by bribing them with pixie sticks doesn't end up working because the results come in and Kurt wins handily. Oops, but Rachel stuffed the ballot box and now Brittany actually is going to be president. So, yay, Brittany's president. Cool. She's going to do a whole lot with her president run. So, you know, we'll have so much to talk about with that respect as we go on.
No more tornadoes and topless Tuesdays.
Yep. That's the plan. That is the plan. Rory Flanagan's also going to show up. He's moving in with Brittany's family, so that's cool. She doesn't understand much of what he's talking about. She thinks he's a leprechaun, and he's going to go along with it. She asks him for a couple of different, you know, treats and tricks and whatnot, and all ends up working. Brittany and Santana, this is the fourth episode of the season, so what are they up to? They go out to dinner, trying to figure out if they're dating or not. Santana is also trying to recruit Brittany to come to the Trouble Tones, but Brittany is saying she cannot. She's not ready to leave the new directions, like, why would she do that? Same kind of thing like when she was trying to be asked to leave Artie. She's like, why would I leave that like that? I have no reason to, you know, whatever. Santana is going to take matters into her own hands and go a different route by saying, hey, Rory, I need your help. You know how Brittany's asking for all these wishes? I've got my wish. I need you to tell Brittany that she needs to join Shelby's Glee Club. And when Brittany finds out about this wish, how can she say no? If that's what Santana asked for, she literally has no option. Like, that is what she wished on the Leprechaun for, and she has to do it. So she's going to decide to go off with Santana off to Shelby's club. Finn comes to Brittany questioning, you know, what are you doing? Why would you leave? I don't think you should leave at all. And as soon as Brittany explains her reasoning, you know, it's because of the Leprechaun, we're going to get one more time of somebody calling her stupid. Finn tells her she's an idiot for believing in leprechauns, and that is going to put the nail in the coffin and send Brittany off away from the new directions for the Trouble Tones.
Yeah, Santana does this flawlessly. I mean, she just works this entire system. Like, she tells Rory that he has a crush on Brittany, and she won't out his secret as long as he helps her. I'm having such issues with these pronouns. Helps her,
a lot of characters,
get Brittany to leave the new directions, but then reveals that he's just got to go away because, yeah, you're not going to be with Brittany because Brittany is kind of mine. So move along. Brittany, of course, falls for everything. But I wouldn't even really say that she falls for it. I think that Santana just like works it into her favor, because then, you know, this is going to ultimately piss off Finn, who does have a bit of a short temper and will say some crazy shit. And so he called her stupid, and that was it. Like, that's the one thing that Brittany would not tolerate. Like, she has no problem accepting the fact that she might not be the brightest bulb. I mean, she wore that shirt last year, but, like, she doesn't need anybody, especially people that are in the Glee Club, telling that to her. So, he fucked up. But the one thing that I liked about this scene, even though it was kind of like to Rory's detriment, is that she wasn't, like, celebrating about this. Like, she was like, look, like, I understand that, like, I told you that you could get my pot of gold if I could leave the new directions without anybody being hurt, but that's not the case. Like, Finn, he apologized and he was in the wrong, but he was still hurt that I was leaving. So,
I mean, Rory's
fake, you're a fraud.
Rory's literally out here trying to get some with the person he's staying with for an entire semester, and like, thank God this didn't happen. Like, imagine the home dynamic. That would have been a wild, I don't know, maybe that happens and I just don't know about it, but Brittany's like, no, we're not doing that, you're not getting my pot of gold. So that's that, and that's like the last time we ever see those two interact, Brittany and Rory. So,
and it probably wasn't even like sex, it was probably something else. It was probably like an actual like small little pot of gold that she has somewhere. Like, so I think either way, Rory was fucked.
Who knows?
Well, he wasn't fucked.
No, he was not. Yeah, no, he certainly was not. Unless sugar, who knows? Okay. So the Trouble Tones do not win at sectionals. They do end up returning to the new directions. So Brittany, along with Santana and Mercedes, are going to come on back and finish out senior year with the new directions. They are going to Santana and Brittany really like it. Okay, so. What's is Valentine's Day the first time that like they're actually together as a couple? So it's not, is it I kissed a girl when like, it's like this whole early part of the season that we see them, you know, definitely together-ish, but I feel like it's Valentine's Day and the heart episode is the first time where it's like, okay, they might actually be a couple at this point.
This, it's like the first time that we saw them kiss, like, or at least attempt to it kiss is. In public, but so they were fully out and everything. I mean, there's a deleted scene that takes place after the whole debacle with Sue outing her by accident, where she approaches the Cheerios and she lets them know, like, look, I'm gay, I love Brittany, yada, yada, yada. If you have an issue with it, then you can get the fuck off the team. Yep. I like to think that even though it's a deleted scene, I like to think that it's still canon and that it happened somewhere along that timeline and we just don't ever see it. But that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, so I think that makes sense. I'm just like, you know, like looking through it all, it's like, wait, it still feels like there's a puzzle piece missing from all of that. But yeah, no, Santana getting out.
Yeah, that happens a lot in season 3. That's there. Like season 3 really feels like there's like really holes everywhere, and then we find out all these deleted scenes and I'm like, why are these gone? Like, yeah. These bring so much more context to everything. It's so strange.
Mm-hmm. So now that Santana's been outed and she's kind of accepting, you know, the fact that everybody knows now, like you said, she's going to, you know, tell the Cheerios in that scene that she loves Brittany. So the two of them are going to spend Valentine's Day together. Brittany makes Santana the Brittany and Santana Infinite playlist, and they do share a kiss in the hallway, which, yes, they get in trouble for, but it is their first on-screen kiss. So we finally got that, in the books, and we were all so excited. And Santana's going to, you know, get Brittany a present back with a singing telegram from the God Squad after, you know, she goes through a whole ordeal to get them to agree to do that. Their relationship continues on throughout the rest of the season. Brittany is going to post a sex tape of both of them online, along with clips of Lord Tubbington spliced in between. She's trying to help Santana become famous because Santana is not exactly sure what she's going to do post high school. Santana is like, you should not have done that. I appreciate that you want to help, but a sex tape, not the best idea. No, no, no. Later on, at least Brittany does, you know, make it up and try to do better for her. She ends up reaching out to some schools, some scholarships to try to get Santana on the right path outside of what she already had tried. And that ends up working out. Santana gets a couple of offers and whatnot. And, you know, we get that scene of the two of them with Sue in Sue's office where Santana finds out about all of this that is now being prepared for her. And Sue's like, no, it wasn't me. It was all Brittany. And we just see how much she cares about her. And it's so cute. So that's happening there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then in prom, we're going to find out about how much Brittany has done with her reign as class president. And it's been so much, we don't even know where to start.
All she's really done this year is plan the perfect prehistoric prom or prehistoric prom. No hair gel. So this is going to bring her into direct conflict with Blaine. But she eventually is going to give in when she realizes that Blaine is having such a hard time with that rule. But she wants everybody to have a good time. She even performs a classic Kesha hit. D-I-N-O. It's
a dinosaur.
D-I-N-O-L-D-M-A-N. You're just an old man hitting on me. What? You need a CAT scan. Ha!
You want my dinosaur. That's what you are.
That's what you are. Ha!
Yes, she gets nominated for prom king, but she does not win because Finn and Rachel are about to go snatch the titles, but whatever.
She does not win, and then her prom has like, never mind, I was about to say something. Oh, no, yeah. Her prom has like the perfect ending when Quinn like wows the crowd and gets up.
Yeah. She didn't do much with her president C, but it ended up all working out with a great prom. Like you said, she does get in a bit of a tiff with Blaine, who does end up showing up to prom with hair gel in, and she tries to kick him out. But, you know, that's that. Let's notice any connections between Blaine, Brittany, Santana, Kurt could come in handy if any of those kind of interactions exist over these first 5 seasons. We also had a scene where, so when Figgins is telling her about how she's done nothing as class president, he's like, you were so bad, I might even get rid of the position. Like, we clearly don't need it because nothing happened. And she's failing all of her classes. She makes a comment in this episode that I know I point out every time we talk about it is just about how she stopped talking for a while, which is like a direct line referencing the fact that she was like not in season 3 for like 5 episodes. She was there, but I think it's from episodes 8 until 13. So it's from Hold On to 16 until the Valentine's Day episode Heart, where it's just they're going every which way except for Brittany. She's still like kind of linked up to Santana, but like stuff is happening with Santana and just all this other stuff. Christmas is in there somewhere, so it's like all this other stuff that's going on. I think the Sue Sylvester shuffle's in there. It's just not about Brittany. So it's like, you know, she goes missing for a while, probably in the sewers. But I think once you get to the final 2 episodes of the season, we start to figure out exactly why they didn't feel the need to put a heavy emphasis on Brittany in this season, because she's actually not going to graduate. She's a senior. She is a senior with all of the rest of Santana and that whole crew. But we find out that we will have another year with Brittany at McKinley.
Yes, we will. She doesn't do too well because she's had to like chase Santana around trying to keep her from falling apart all fucking
all fucking season. So that's why she failed. It's Santana's fault. I blame Santana.
Yeah.
But I also think it's great because now we get more Britney.
We do. So they win nationals. Britney and Santana go back to celebrate with everybody at school. Everybody's all happy together. And in the season finale of season three, she goes out to dinner with Santana and Santana's mom. And she talks about, she just drops the bomb on them. She says that she's not graduating. Her GPA is a 0.0. And she's not sad about it. She's happy that she's going to have a chance for a do-over. She says next year she's going to actually go to her classes. So she's looking forward to that. And then she's not kidding. The seniors go off and graduate. Everybody says goodbye. And she's going to go on to see Santana walk across the stage as she stays back for another year with Tina and Artie and Blaine. And it's like at a certain point, it's like, how did she not just like force Sue to help her? Like, that doesn't sound, I mean, I get that she's like, oh, I'm excited, I could just like stay here and live this simple life a little bit longer, but she like hates
right
Tina. She Artie's her ex-boyfriend. Blaine annoys her with the hair gel. It's like, what's here for you?
Yeah, I know. I remember being surprised when she said that. I was like, oh my goodness, does this mean, like, what's gonna happen? Does this mean she failed out? Is Britney leaving? Like, is Heather Morris leaving the show? But no, that just meant that they wanted to have her as one of the characters to stick around next season. And hey, I mean, I'm here for it.
And who could blame them,
season
right?
Like, Britney's a lot of fun.
What a character. Like, they obviously struck a pot of gold by finding, you know, this talent, by finding this this character, the story that they wrote here for
Britney.
And
how are they
going to
keep the Britannia storyline alive?
Right.
You know what I mean? I felt like you needed to anchor like one of them to Lima in order for it to be an easily accessible character.
Yes.
Because if you had both of them go off, like, where is she going to go? To New York? Like, I don't know. Then it kind of gets a little too crowded over there. Like, I think that this was the right choice.
Yeah, absolutely. It allowed us to have more time with Britney without having to, like, follow some serious, like, college storyline. It makes sense because she's not the smartest person. And, you know, it's definitely believable that she would have failed in school. So it all worked out. It just kind of, the story wrote itself there. You know, they easily could have held Puck back to somebody who sucks at grades, but like, you know, they were like, let's move on with some of these kids, bring in the new ones, and let's let Britney have some more time in, you know, the spotlight on the stage with the dancing and all that stuff. We needed her there for it. So yeah, that's pretty much the story through three seasons. A lot more to come for season four, not much in season five, but then some more in season six. It's really going to be the story of like Britannia solidified in the next three seasons, even though they do break up in season four. But we get into like the real meat of things in part two coming up next. So I'm excited for it.
As am I. Very excited. And I'm very excited to get into some of her music.
Yes, we got 17 Britney songs, I believe. 17 songs that she is heavily featured in, either as a solo performer or in a duet. But I think before we get into the songs is when I want to play this video here of some iconic Britney lines. It's a two-part video. So the first one I think I'll play now, and then the second one, should we play? Okay, whatever. Who cares? I can figure that out later. So let's start off with that. Let's listen to some of Britney's most iconic lines as put together by somebody on YouTube who I will credit for after the video when I see their name.
Did you know that dolphins are just gay sharks?
It's Britney, bitch.
Hi. Who can tell me who Christopher Cross is?
I discovered America.
This is insane. I didn't cheat on you.
Cheetahs have the fastest land speed of any living animal.
Darn.
Well, I'm not.
I'm Britney.
You look terrible. I have a glass of the card that said heart attacks are just from loving too much.
I have pepperoni in my bra.
Those are my nipples.
Stop the violence.
You want a signed picture?
Please.
I'm sure you do.
Love it so much.
I promise I will pee in it.
I know your name. It's Quinn.
I'm Quinn.
Where?
Yeah, I'm with Rachel on this one.
Gross.
What's a duet?
A blanket.
Plus my blanket and my pillow fell in the pool. Disaster.
Lord Tomington's poops are crispy and delicious.
You're a really good dancer.
Thanks, but my feet weren't really moving.
That was the best part.
From the time we take a stand, you honor me with being your next class president. I will make tornadoes illegal at McKinley. That's a great haircut, Mercedes. I thought you graduated. And Quinn, you're still dancing in my dreams. And you can fly and breathe fire.
Guys, I have one word for you.
Brittany.
Is it love? I don't know.
Valid.
When are the lies going to stop? You don't even live in New York. I'm not even sure you've been to New York.
We even went to New York together.
Brit, she can't prove, and I don't think that's going to kill her. Tell that to Fat Elvis.
So what are you going to be for Halloween this year?
I'm going as a peanut allergy.
Great.
When I'm with these people, they remind me of the best parts of myself, and they would never make fun of me.
Not to her face, no way.
There's a fair amount of pot calling the kettle black right now.
I couldn't agree.
Dan, you got into Purdue University?
Not the university, the poultry farm. I once told the guy I had three vaginas, and he was pretty bummed when he found I only had two.
What's happening?
What up, bitches?
What are you doing?
You guys, I'm really nervous. Kesha has been a cultural icon for weeks, and I really want to do her music justice. My name is Susan, my last name is Pierce. That makes me Brittany S. Pierce, Brittany Spears. Don't make fun of the new kid with the bad bro, terrible name.
That's not...
President, you are all fired. Sorry, Rachel, that includes you. But I guess I'll see you in Glee Club.
To be honest, I don't understand the difference between an elf and a slave.
Brittany, lock the door.
Yeah, but I don't know how to do that.
At first, I was wondering, did we need the music in the background with the One Direction blasting? And then, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was just watching it. I was like, oh, this is like a movie trailer for like the Britney S. Pierce documentary. I was like, I actually think I was enjoying it. That was just some of the best of Britney S. Pierce. And you could like go for hours watching those videos. So I had to find one that was short and simple. There's also a part two that I think maybe we'll hold that for the next podcast. But just some of the great Britney lines with many more to go.
Fair amount of kettle calling or pot calling the kettle black right now. That is so racist.
That's so racist.
Oh, Britney. I love her so much. She's just so funny. And that's not even like, that's probably like what, like maybe 20% of the shit that she said on the show?
It's like 5%. There's so much. Obviously, definitely a lot of highlights in there. The person who created that is, I think, the name is Agronsky on YouTube. Hopefully, we'll be able to link the video if you want to go watch it as well. If the One Direction was too much and you ended up skipping ahead. But so that was just a couple of Britney's lines. Lots more to go, like I said. And we're going to get into her songs now. We have got 17 Britney songs. And I think let's just do 17. Today, and then we'll do the top 10 in the next episode, if that sounds good to you.
Sounds Gucci.
All right. So, without further ado, of these 17 songs, it is time to find out which came in at number 17. Let's listen.
Feels like the crowd is saying,
give me more.
Britney, season 4, lip-syncing to Give Me More in the auditorium. Or not the auditorium, they're in the gym there. And she gets booed.
I can't believe you guys made this the worst song. This shit is hilarious. How did any of the Britney Spears songs end up in the bottom? Oh, that's so displeasing to my spirit and my soul. You already didn't try my patience with Finn, and now you're doing this with Britney? I won't have it. I won't have it. This performance is iconic, okay? Iconic! How dare you?
I like it too.
All of you.
I like it too. I definitely enjoy it. It's any Britney
on Britney. It's so funny!
Yeah, it's definitely funny, but I don't know. If I'm ranking my performances, I'm ranking them more on, like, you know, every, like, I don't know. Like, I want the whole performance. Like, this is, like, just a comedic Glee scene.
Exactly! That should stand on its own! I'm not even about to talk about Britney's vocals here, because we know vocal, like, you lost the game, if that's what you're in this for with Britney, okay? But this is so hilarious to me. I'm shocked that this is in the bottom. It doesn't have to be number one or anything, but I'm just like, damn. Like, how many songs does she have?
She has 17.
Okay, well, never mind. I feel less bad now.
What do you mean? What'd you think it was?
I don't know. I don't know why I thought there was like 30 songs, but I don't know if I'll put this at the bottom. But damn,
17 like, songs. They're all good. So you know, we'll see as we go on what you would have moved around. But there is Give Me More at number 17, kicking us off with a bang here. Let's go on to number 16.
Politics, you can never go wrong. Oh, make me over. I'm all I wanna be. Can study in demonology. Hey, so glad you could make it. Yeah, now you really made it. Hey, so glad you could make it now.
Oh, look at my face. My name is might have been. My name is never was. My name forgotten. Hey, so glad you can make it. Yeah, now you really made it. Hey, there's only us left now.
When I wake up in my makeup, have you ever felt so used up as this?
It's all so sugarless. Hook a waitress, model actress. So I'll just go nameless.
There is Celebrity Skin from season 4. So would you have flipped the order on this, or what do you say?
Yeah, I would have. But even though I have grown to love this song a lot, like I said before, I've said this countless times, season 4 is probably the season that I have the most music from, because I would get all the shit after the episode was done. And this was sort of a song during this episode that I was sort of like kind of skip over. I was kind of like, eh, whatever. But no, I've really grown to love this song over the years. So, but I don't know if I love it more than most of her other songs. So if the bottom song, yeah, maybe. But it would have been a soft bottom.
It's, well, that's what I think. That's what, well, okay. I think that's what Give Me I think that's what Give Me More was. I feel like that was the soft bottom. I feel like that it was definitely not people saying they hate it. Whatever. Okay, we don't have to linger on it too much. I love Celebrity Skin. It is grown
on me.
But
the thing that I want to talk about.
What?
Sorry, the thing I want to talk about with this song is, so I was sending Matt a bunch of, I was having a really bad case of insomnia one night. I was just watching a bunch of behind the scenes videos that I'd never seen before. And they had one for this episode. And I'd always wondered how they are able to shoot these music video scenes where they're walking in slow motion, but their lips are in sync with the music. And then I realized during the behind the scenes for this, they have them, when they're shooting it in real time, they just double the speed when they're walking down the hallway. And so that when they slow it down, everything looks as if it's slow motion, but really it's just the slow motion of double speed. I'm like, duh, Amon, that's how they did that. And I was like so intrigued by that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that video. I was glad you sent it along. It was a lot of fun to see the behind the scenes with Heather and Cord, and like, I don't know, they seem to be having a fun time filming that one. So that is that's definitely worthwhile to go check out if you are interested in some behind the scenes footage. It's on YouTube. But yeah, this one grows on me every time I hear it. I'm glad it did not hit the bottom of the list, because I don't think it belongs down there. I understand that it's not the most memorable and people have probably forgotten about it or whatever, but it's so much fun, especially the video and everything here. I love the two of them together. It's just great. So Celebrity Skin from season 4 ends up there at number 16. Let's move on to number 15.
Pass along.
Yay!
Yes.
Love it. I love it.
Not us doing that at the same time.
I love it.
Yeah, I love this too. I love this song. I was not familiar with this Christmas song before Glee. I think I probably heard it in passing or something like that, because I do love Christmas music, but I guess it never stuck with me until I'd heard it on Glee. And what a perfect poppy, fun Christmas song for Brittany to sing. If we couldn't get Where Are You Christmas last season, then I'm fine sacrificing that for this number, because it's so fun. The ribbons are so fun. Heather just has such great charisma and stage presence whenever she's dancing on the stage. She just knows how to move her body, and it's just always just so electrifying to watch. And that paired with this Christmas song in particular is just a fun time. I just get so hyped. And now I'm like slowly getting back into the Christmas spirit.
They talked about this on the Merry Snixmas live stream that some of the cast members had did, you know, this past December. It was funny. Jenna Ushkowitz was like, somebody was talking about, you know, Christmas wrapping with the Cheerios being her favorite thing. And she's like, you know, I was there too. And they were like, what? She's like, I was there. Like, I was there too. It's like, this was the Cheerios performance. I don't know how Tina got involved, but I'm happy she was there, even though it's, I guess, forgotten about by her castmates.
Yeah. So it was there.
There's Christmas wrapping from season 3. Look, Amon, we just have to accept there are 17 good Britney songs. It's like having any of these like towards the bottom of the list feels bad. I totally get that and agree, but it's like they're all good.
But the past two, I understand. I don't understand the Gimme More one. That one just like gotcha. If Gimme More was next. Like, if it were Makeover, then this, then Give Me More next, they'd be like, okay, fine, whatever, sure, whatever. But last,
I'm just glad that they didn't overdo it with Britney songs. I'm glad that they decided, like, you know, if we're gonna have, you know, a Britney performance, we're gonna do it right. Like, we're gonna make it fun, we're gonna make it good, and not just, like, sprinkle in just because we need to have a Finn solo this week, or we need to have a Kurt solo this week.
Maybe it's because of the fact that it was the Britney number that was directly making fun of Britney Spears, and they hadn't really gotten permission from Britney this time to do the tribute episode. And so I'm sure there might be a few Britney stans that are also listeners of our podcast that are like, I didn't like that one because it was kind of really just making fun of her VMA's performance in 2007. So maybe. I guess I can, you know, if I'm really about to be about that free Britney lifestyle, then I guess I really should be a little bit more supportive of the fact that she wasn't the biggest fan of how they did her in that episode. I mean, I think it was funny, and I think that it was meant in jest, and they weren't trying to be. And it was at a point in time where she was in a really good spot, right? Like, she had been on the X Factor. Like, things were really looking up for her. She had been releasing new music. So they probably felt like, okay, we can probably poke a little bit of fun at her because she was having a hard time, but now she's kind of moved through it. But because of the fact that she didn't really like it, I guess I can sympathize with that. So, you know what? Give Me More. Fine. All last right. place, that's fine.
Look at us. Progressing in our own narratives as we continue on in this thing. So there is Christmas wrapping at number 15. Let's keep on moving up to number 14.
I'm standing in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me. And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. And afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. I can see it in your eyes that you despise the same old lies you heard the night before. It's just a line to you, from me it's true, it never seemed so right before. I practice every day to find some clever lines to say to make the meaning come through. But then I go and spoil it all by saying something.
I just love the
like
Sam and Britney duets. I just love them all. So I like this one too. Number 14, Something Stupid, season 4, episode 9, with Mr. Samuel Evans.
Yeah, I love this too. I loved it from the moment they started singing it. I'm familiar with the song, and I love this cover. I think they sound great. It's so cute and innocent and loving and fun. The beginning of their romance together. Yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's cute. It's cute. It's cute. And that is one of maybe three Brittany and Sam duets that might be coming up today. Let's see. Who knows? So that was
it's More Than Words next.
That's not next, but
More Than Words is towards the top.
It's not next. So that was number 14. Number 13, I will say, is a song that, not that I don't like it, I just think maybe this one could have been at the bottom. Let's see how you feel. Here's number 13.
The music usually starts when I say something like, it's Britney bitch, or I do one of my magical turns.
I know something about love. You've gotta want it bad. If that guy's got into your blood, go out and get him. If you want him to be the very part of you that makes you want to breathe, here's the thing to do. Tell him that you're never gonna leave him. Tell him that you're always gonna love him. Tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him right now. I know something about love. You've gotta show it and make him see the moon up above. Reach out and get him if you want him to be always by your side. If you want him to only think of you, tell him that you're never gonna leave him. Tell him that you're always gonna love him. Tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him right now.
Tell him, tell him, tell me how you feel, Amon.
I love this. I love this. It's a number that I think I forget about sometimes because it does sort of like it happens within a blink of an eye.
That's
it's,
it, yeah.
Like, towards the beginning of the episode. It's towards the beginning of the episode. It's like kind of later, not late season four, but like middle season four. So things kind of get a little bit hazy in terms of like detailing and stuff like that. So I understand what you're saying, but no, I think that the placement is fine. I think what is this, number 13?
13.
I think this is fine. Middle of the pack. It's kind of that describes where the song places in the series itself. So
okay,
I think it's fine.
I feel like if I was gonna pick any song that I think could have. Because I do feel like Give Me More makes sense at the bottom, so I'm just thinking like if there's any song that I could have put below that myself. But I do like it as well, and when I pressed play, I was like, maybe I take it back. It's fun there with Brittany and Marley, and then they have the rest of the New Directions girls backing them up with some fun dance number in the room mm-hmm. before they're about to start asking people the Sadie Hawkins dances and whatnot. So that is at number 13. Every song today is either season 3 or 4. So, I mean, that tells you all the Britney songs are going to be next time. And yeah. So the next song is from season 3. It is number 12, the second to last song that we are going to get to today. Love it. I love it. Dinosaur in the prom episode, of course. It's a dinosaur's prom.
Ha!
Promosaurus.
Oh, man. Kesha in her debut, man, was just so fun. Like, she's just so saucy. I love it. And I love that they reserved Kesha songs for Britney. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, no one else would have been able to do the justice. Maybe Kitty could have pulled one off. Maybe.
Kitty wasn't even a thought by now in this season 3.
She wasn't. Yeah, by the time... Well, I was about to say by the time Kitty rolls around, Kesha was kind of gone, but she wasn't because she had released Warrior at that point. So there was plenty of Kesha material for them to scoop up in season 4, but they just didn't do it. Yeah, no, I think this is fun. This is lots of high energy, lots of great choreography. Yeah, this is definitely a top tier solo for Britney. She really commands the stage here.
Yes, it's just so much fun with the dinosaurs, the Cheerios, and the dinosaur heads, and Britney's in her cave girl outfit, and it's just it makes the prom worthwhile, even if everything else is wacky. Not that it's bad, it's just wacky.
I feel like a lot of people didn't know about this song. You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of people,
oh,
like,
for
you,
sure,
you might have been Kesha fans,
for
but
sure,
they only knew about, you know, what, like TikTok and what was the other big one? TikTok.
Your Love Is My Drug.
Your Love Is My Drug.
All of them.
The song with 303, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a bit of a deep cut that I'm glad that they pulled out. I remember being surprised, like, oh wow, really? This song? Great.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is great.
I agree. It's great. And the last song of the day. The last song we have, these are the bottom seven, if you can call them the bottom seven, or we could just call them the not top ten. And then next time we'll do the top ten. But here is song number 11, another season four, Britney and Sam.
Is all you have to do to make it real, then you wouldn't have to say that you love me, 'cause I'd already know. What would you do if my heart was torn in two? More than words to show you feel that you're
I think it's very funny that this song came up again, or came up here today, considering we were just talking about the behind the scenes videos, obviously, and there was another one that you sent me for this one where the entire Glee cast was talking about Lord Tubbington, whose real name was Aragorn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Aragorn.
And he was not a very cooperative cat at times while they were filming this. So that was a very fun video as well. Go check that out on YouTube. But more than words, I know you're a big fan of it. It lands here at number 11.
Slaps the shit out of Kitty.
Yes.
No, I love this song. This was a slow burn for me. I glossed over it when watching the episode for the first time, and then I returned to it. I think I woke up one morning, and the song, I left my AirPods in, or my earphones in, rather, and this song was just playing when I woke up, and it just like hit me in my spirit that morning. I was like, you know what, I love this song now. So yeah, I'm glad that this is like, I don't think it's a top tier Britney performance, but it's like one of my personal favorites. So I feel like just outside of the top 10, I have no problem with it. If it were a little lower, I wouldn't be that mad about it either. So
really,
yeah, I like this a lot.
Yeah, no, I like it a lot too. I was expecting that you would have said you wanted it higher because I knew how much you liked it, but
No, I would have been shocked if it were. I think 11's good.
Okay.
I think it's a good placement.
I think I agree with that as well. It's definitely, the two of them are a lot of they have a lot of musical chemistry together. Sam and Britney, Cord and Heather, and they had some three good hits there in season four with Celebrity Skin, Something Stupid, and then More Than Words. So definitely songs that I have grown to appreciate a whole lot more since our rewatch. And that's it for the day. That's it. Bottom seven songs there for Britney S. Pierce. Still 10 more iconic songs to go when we get to part two of Britney's Countdown and talk season four, season five, season six, and some more songs. And I'm excited to do it.
If I took those words away, then you couldn't make things new. If I had like a nice, like, upper register, I would totally do a More Than Words video, but only Britney's parts.
Oh. Well,
I can't get up there.
If you ever get there, I will press play on the video, and I will give it a like.
Thanks for the support. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime.
Yes! Britney S. Pierce. I'm excited to get more into her season four, because season four is like really when she comes into her own, comes into her prime. And of course, getting to hear some more quotes and hear some more of her music. This is fun. I feel like this is like the easiest podcast for me in terms of characters, because I think that it's so fun to talk about her. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. You can follow us on Twitter and on TikTok at Quiet Room Pod. Follow us individually. I'm at Amon Adwin. Matt's at Matt Ligori. You can please, if you please, leave us star ratings and reviews wherever you get your podcasts. I believe that we are at 99 ratings on Apple Podcasts. We just need one more rating to crack the 100.
Yeah, but also, ceiling, like, this podcast is going to come out, like, a month after we're recording it right now, so hopefully we're at, like, 10.
Don't tell them that. Don't tell them that, because then they'll think that maybe
I am honest with the audience.
I mean, regardless, even if you have, if we have reached 100, hey, give us a rating and a like. Why not?
No,
you
know? I agree with that. I just don't agree with dishonesty.
I mean, it's not really dishonesty. I mean, it's just,
okay,
just,
Santana, what are you doing out here?
I wasn't dishonest. I just said we don't have to say that. Like,
it's not a lie.
It's not like I'm lying by omission.
You know,
because it's not a lie. Right now, in this point in time, we are at 99. Now that could change, but it might not change. Who's to say that by the time this comes out, we're still at 99?
If that doesn't change by the time this comes out, I will be very upset.
It's not even a lie by omission. I'm stating the truth. I'm stating facts.
All right. Well,
give us a star rating and review.
Let's get out of here for today. Please do that for sure. Give us some love in the iTunes store or anywhere else that you can review podcasts. Where else can you review podcasts? I don't know. But that's all we have for today. So thank you guys for checking this one out. We will see you in part 2 for Brittany S. Pierce.
Until next time, guys, we will glee you later.
Dolphins are just gay sharks.